sowing in the morning. Morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontime, and the joy is waiting for the harvest. In the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing. Bringing in the sheep, we shall come rejoicing. Bringing in the sheep, sowing in the sunshine, sowing in the shadows, fearing neither cloud nor wind as chilling breeze, buying by the harvest. And the labor ended, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, going forth with weeping, sowing for the master, for the Lord sustained our spirit of peace. When our weeping's over, He will bid us welcome. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. God bless you, brethren. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are listening from Pastor Albert Matimbe from Zimbabwe. I want to appreciate all the ministers whom God has used from the beginning of the year 2026, January, and we have come into the second month, which is February 2026. We hope and trust that God will see us through the whole of this year. Before I would get into our text today, I just want to share with you the testimony on what God is doing in His field. By His grace, the doors have been opened for us to be able to get the gospel into the prisons, where we move and preach the gospel from one prison to another. And there's massive response as the prisoners are giving their lives to Jesus Christ. And the overwhelming response led to us baptizing hundreds of them, even including the notorious criminals that are locked up in maximum security prisons. And week after week, month after month, we see our souls fulfilling. Even the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verse 1 to 2, where Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to the captives and even to the poor." And of course, you recall
that King David at one time prophesied in Psalms 142 verse 7, a scripture which I can also share with you on this daily devotion platform. According to Psalms 142 verse 7, the Bible reads, "Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me." This is what King David said. His desire was to be taken out of prison. And in the same manner, there are many prisoners that are bound in prisons that are also yearning to be delivered from the prisons. From my understanding and my analysis, I've discovered that we have about three types of prisons or categories of prisons, which I can share with you on this daily devotion platform. Number one, we have what we regard as physical prisons. And these are prisons that we see physically, where people are locked in. The walls that we can see physically, that a person is actually locked in, is incarcerated. This we can see with our eyes, the physical prisons that are tangible. Over and above that, we have what we regard as metaphorical prisons. You know, the people that are mentally disturbed, the people that are sick, the people that are hounded with the diseases, and like, they are in their own category of prison, which is a metaphorical prison. And those people need deliverance. Having talked about the physical prison, and we have now looked at the metaphorical prison, there's yet another category of prison, which is a spiritual prison. People like Legion, he was in a spiritual prison. He was in a world of his own. So when we see people moving, they are in either of those three categories of prisons that I've mentioned. The physical prison, metaphorical prison, and again, the spiritual prison. And the power of the word, which I encourage ministers actually to stand on their feet, head above shoulders, and declare, like what Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, that I can preach the gospel, deliver those that are in prison." So as we move from prison to prison, we have got a mandate to deliver all those that are imprisoned, healing the sick, taking them away and out from the metaphorical prisons, those that are spiritually bound with different demons. The power of the word is there to deliver such. And it is my encouragement, brethren, that as ministers of the gospel, we stand tall with the assurance that the scriptures back us. Because it is written in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8. When the Spirit of the Lord comes, it will subdue us with the power from on high, that we can be his witnesses and preaching the gospel from city to city, from country to country, which I know and believe that all of you, my ministering brothers, are doing. So this week, in our daily devotion, we want to talk about that mandate that God gave us. And I want to take this scripture of Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, going to 38. And here the Bible reads, with the subheading here, according to the gospel according to Matthew, he put a subheading here, laborers for the harvest. Verse 35 of Matthew chapter 9. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So we are going to talk about the harvest that is ready, yet the laborers are few. What a challenge upon us, the ministers, that sometimes we feel comfortable to rest on our laurels, which are our little achievements, thinking that if we've preached to scores of people, or maybe hundreds of people, then we feel that we've done much. That is not it. That is too little an achievement. We have not yet done anything. We have not yet done according to the magnitude that we are expected to do. Jesus, as our good example, when he was on planet Earth, he did not have time to spare. He would move from one street to another, from one city to another, preaching the gospel. And the observation that he came across, he found people that were bound in all kinds of sicknesses. People who were possessed with lots of them demons. And he was filled with compassion. Reason being that this is people that were scattered. They looked like sheep without shepherd. And looking at that, this did not go well with him. This did not augur well with him, up to an extent that he told and shared with his disciples that there was a need for them to pray to the Lord of harvest to raise many more laborers, because the harvest was plenteous, yet the laborers are very few. There are too few. My. The Lord Jesus Christ desires to see as many laborers as possible. And the laborers that should go out into the field should know their responsibility. It's not just being a laborer. We should move with the targets. We should have goals. Time is fast spent. And wherever we are, whatever country we are, whatever village we are, whatever street we are, we must do the work of the Lord with haste. Time is fast spent. We are living in the end time, and everybody knows that. So what we need to do is to put all efforts. When we try to analyze and see what harvest is all about, if you want to dissect the word harvest and perhaps laborers, we take it to this fact that harvest refers to the process of gathering crops when they are ripe and ready. The time of harvest is a critical time for farmers. They have no time to waste. For farmers, they know when they reach the harvest time, it is a time when they are reaping what they had sown. It is a time which marks the culmination of the hard work, the efforts that they would have done throughout the season. And looking at our age that we are living in, much was done. In all the other ages or church ages that have gone by, and we've come to the last stage of the relay, of the race. And you recall that the messenger to the Laodicean church age said these good words. He said, God in this end time is putting up his army together to fight the last battle in this end time. And God is identifying the true laborers. And we are being told by Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, where the Bible says we are God's co-workers. And in the context of harvest, it is reminding us that our efforts are part of a bigger picture with God. Is the ultimate source, and God is the ultimate source. What we are doing, what we are involved in, we are co-laborers, we are co-workers with God. And we are being assured by the prophetic utterances of Isaiah in his chapter 55, it says, when the word of God goes forth, it is to perform what is sent for. It is to perform the purpose. It does not go in vain. So in preaching the gospel, we should know that we should be very positive, very assured that there are results. We would have won the battle before even it is fought. Because as a minister of the gospel, you should rest assured that even before you preach, the results are already there. They are promised positive results, because we are being told that when the word of God goes forth, it does not come back in vain. It does not come back void. It fulfills its purpose. So, brothers, as we are moving through this week's daily devotion, let us look at this fact. These important words, the harvest and the laborers. What is it that we are harvesting? These are not literal crops per se. It's souls that we should go for. We should yearn for souls that they should be saved. And you should realize that one soul in the sight of God worth is more than 10,000 worlds. That is the soul, the worthiness of the soul. Yes, sir. And what I should remind you as ministers is that God is working. And we should also be working. We shouldn't be dormant. We shouldn't be spectators. The Lord doesn't want us to be spectators. He wants us to be participants. That's why Apostle Paul said we are co-workers with him. If you are a minister of the gospel, you are not a spectator. You are a participant. You are supposed to be involved. Yes, sir. Come with me to John chapter 5, verse 17. Where Jesus said these words, "My Father is always at his work." Praise God. "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too, I am working." So, brethren, this verse is a motivating scripture to tell us that our Father is at work and we should always be on the field working. We should always be busy. What do you say about John Wesley, whom we are told that he used to move around 4,500 miles per year preaching the gospel, which means if you convert it to kilometers per day, you'll find out he would go for at least 20 or more kilometers per day preaching the gospel in the month of November and December. I had the privilege to be in the United Kingdom, and I made an effort to go and see the headquarters of John Wesley, where he built his first chapel. And you find out from the books that are there that the man was very much devoted into preaching the gospel, into prayer. He had no time to waste. So with us, we should also get that good example of not being spectators, but we should be participants. We should be involved in making sure that the gospel reaches the sinners, reaching out to the lost, because the harvest is ready. And Jesus, when he looked at that, when he observed that, he was filled with compassion. He felt sorry for the people. When God looks into the people in your respective countries, in your respective continents, wherever you are, in these respective villages, wherever you are, when Jesus looks at them, he's filled with compassion. He looks at you, being a representative of the kingdom of the Most High God, he expects you to do something. So my brother, wherever you are, in the village where you are, in the country where you are, in the street where you are, in the environment or the community where you are, we rely on you. We expect you to do something. What an honor that God sent you as a human being to preach the gospel. He didn't entrust the gospel to the angels. He entrusted the gospel to you, a human being created of God and who is moving on planet Earth. What an honor. And God has given you a mouth to speak with. God has given you even the legs, the feet to move by. And God has given you the understanding of breaking the word of God to those that are in need. So, brethren, may God bless you as we meditate upon this task that we have. This very task, which tells us that the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. And Jesus had to tell the disciples, "You pray to the Lord of harvest. Make sure that many more laborers are being raised. Many more laborers come on the field. Many more laborers avail themselves for the work, for the harvest is ready. May God bless you for today as we shall navigate on this issue of the harvest and the laborers that are involved. God bless you.